Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hi, and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with me today. And you may be listening in Vancouver on CITR 101.9 FM or in Kamloops on CBFX 92.5 or Prince George, BC 93.1 CFIS or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today we are joined by Frank Butterfield. He is a channel. He channels a group consciousness called the Communion of Light. So we'll find out a little bit about that. He's been on the show a couple times before. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Thanks, Marie. It's really great to be here. It's always fun to be chatting with you, and I'm just really excited to see where we go today.
Yay. Okay, so for people who are new to the idea of channeling, tell us a little bit about what you do and how it works.
Well, channeling is actually sounds a lot more exotic than it really is. Basically, what I do is I sit down and let my own personality kind of sit to the side while something bigger and more expansive than me comes in and speaks through me. And, you know, we do this all the time with all sorts of things. Like, we channel aspects of our personality. We channel skills and characteristics based upon what seems like the right thing at the moment. What I'm doing, of course, is a little bit different because I'm deliberately setting aside my own idea of what I think should be said at any given moment, and that's obvious a lot of the time, in favor of something that feels so much more expansive than what I normally can get to in my own consciousness. So the Communion of Light just refers to this collective consciousness that I'm sitting aside for, essentially, and they don't talk a lot about who they are specifically in any sort of way that, you know, like, I don't have a CV for them, for example, or a resume, but it is a collective consciousness. There's a single voice that speaks for them, whose name is Paul, and it's just about the best thing ever when I get to do this. I have so much fun doing it. I have amazing experiences with the people that I get to work with. And it's just a really radical, fun, amazing, uplifting, inspiring, loving, joyful experience. It's the best.
Cool.
What can I say?
And so how do you know, Frank, that this is actually a consciousness other than your own? How do you know it's not just your own imagination making things up?
Well, it could be my imagination. And I never, if anybody, you know, anyone who feels skeptical or doubtful about it says, you know, ask that question from that skeptical perspective, I always say, well, it could very well be my imagination. If you listen long enough, you're going to hear things that I don't say. If you know me well enough, you'll recognize some attributes that they bring to the table that are not part of my waking personality. One of them is persistence and a kind of overriding consistency in both what they say and how they say it, which is not really normal for me because I tend to kind of bounce around in all sorts of different things and I want to try on new ideas. And they're pretty consistent about how they say what they say. They'll use new ideas and new metaphors and new concepts in the conversation, but the basis of everything that they say to anybody is always consistent. My best friend, whom I've known since we were 12 years old, saw me do this a couple of years ago, and he's very skeptical, and he's not religious or spiritual in any sort of way. And his response was that he said, you know, they're using, if it is a they, it sounds an awful lot like you. It's your sense of humor. It's your this, it's your that. And I said, yeah, that's right, because I'm a channel. They're using what's available because they don't speak. They're not talking as though I was just a telephone and happen to be the instrument in a mechanical sort of way. They're using what's available within my consciousness to express the ideas that they're wanting to express. But I said to him, we'd been at a workshop where essentially it was this really wonderful group of women, and very amazing women, all extremely successful, really loving, very beautiful. And every one of them, six in a row, asked the question, where's my husband? Why am I not married yet? What will my grandmother think? And I said to him, do you think that I could have sat in a room like that for 3 hours and fielded that same question over and over again without losing my patience? And he was like, no, there's no way you could have done that. And I was like, yeah, if that doesn't prove to you that this is actually something different than me, then I don't know what else to show you. Because that would have driven me personally crazy. And in fact, when it was going on, I was sitting there going, you know, when the third one asked the question, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And yet the words that came out of my mouth were very soothing and very, you know, this isn't a big deal. Don't worry so much about it. And with lots of practical, you know, advice and things like that. So.
Okay. So don't ask you that question then.
No, please do it. Feel free to ask me the question. The only thing I can really offer is that the proof is in the pudding. That's really my standard answer to the question is if it works for you, then feel free to have as much of it as you want. If it doesn't work for you, walk away. There's no reason why anybody has to believe, have faith in, trust anything that they don't feel like they can do. So I'm never asking anybody to be, to go against their own internal guidance. So my friend, for example, we talked about it one time. We've never talked about it since then. And in this past few years, things have gotten a lot bigger for me, and I'm doing a lot more work, and it's become the dominant aspect of my life. And we're still wonderful friends, and my friendship with him isn't dependent upon that. But the point I was trying to make to him was, you know me well enough to know that if I was in that situation, I would not have been that patient. I wouldn't have been able to be that consistent and to have, like, had this very even way of looking at things. So there you go. But I do invite people to ask the question, like, how do I know this is real? Because I know personally that question isn't really for me. That's actually something, they're working out something within themselves. And this is a very safe place to work out just about anything.
And so thank you for that explanation, Frank. And what's your website?
It's real easy. It's communionoflight.com. So it's communionoflight.com. And if for some reason you can't find it that way, if you remember my name, Frank Butterfield, you can Google me. And there's two Frank Butterfields on the first page of Google. There's me and a guy in Las Vegas who's a certified exercise specialist. And once you see a picture of me, you'll understand why I'm not that guy. So it's real easy. You just remember my name, Frank Butterfield, and you'll find what you're looking for really fast.
All right. Thank you. So, Frank, are we going to be chit-chatting with you today? Are we going to be talking with the Communion of Light? Where do you see this going?
Well, anything's possible. I love talking with you, Marie. I just have such a wonderful time connecting with you. So as long as you want to chat with me, I'm up for that. If you want to start talking with Paul right now, that's great, too. It's kind of wherever we want to go. But what feels like probably might be a nice thing to do would be to go into the conversation. But only if you have questions that you want to bring forth, because, you know, as you know from your own experience, they don't lecture. They don't sit down and say, okay, here are the 10 things you need to know about your life. The reason they come forth is because people have questions for them.
But you have to ask the right questions. So wouldn't it be nice if they would just tell you exactly what you need to know?
Well, the thing is that once you start asking those questions, first of all, there's no wrong question. Let's be really clear. There's no wrong question at all. But if you do ask a question and you feel like the answer you're getting isn't satisfactory, one of the things I love to tell people is, and they'll tell people very directly, is don't worry about saying, hey, this doesn't sound right to me. This doesn't feel right. I don't like the way I don't like where this is going. There's a reason why stuff like that shows up. There's a reason why that rises up, because there's something going on within the person who's asking the question that's trying to find its way to the surface. And that's what they'll say at the very end of the day is, well, actually not even at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day and in the middle of the day. They'll say this over and over and over again. They're not here to teach us anything because we're not stupid. They're not here to heal us because we're not in need of healing. And they're not here to fix us because we're not broken. They're here because we want to remember who we really are, and very specifically, we want to remember why we do what we do and how we are actually literally creating our own reality. And that's their favorite subject to talk about.
Okay.
So, in very specific terms, too, not just in kind of general broad strokes, but in very specific, your life, your questions, your stuff, things you don't like, the things you want more of, from that kind of perspective.
Okay, and how do you feel now? It's hard to predict who's going to call in. Are you cool if someone wants to call in and ask a question or two?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
That's always a lot of fun.
So the number is 604-822-2487. And Frank, I know originally when we booked this interview, we were planning on talking about relationships, and which is always a really juicy, interesting topic. And this morning I woke up and I'm feeling like, I don't know, I've been so focused on relationships. I kind of feel like people are sick of hearing me talk about it.
Well, it's one of those global topics, right? I mean, you can never really talk about it enough, probably. Either, you know, what it's like to be in a relationship, or what it's like to be wanting to be in a relationship, or what it's like to be wanting to get out of a relationship. One of my favorite things about the topic or the debate in the U.S. about the concept of marriage for everyone, marriage equality, is I love it when I hear my straight friends saying, "Oh, you want to get married? We'll give you the right in spite. We want you to have this experience because there's no reason why the misery should just be related or, you know, specific to us."
Uh-huh.
And I love it when they say that. But what I really, you know, for me personally on this topic, what I really love is the fact that I love that for myself, I've been growing, and there's no right or wrong thing here, but it's just my own personal journey. I've been growing out of the idea of being in a relationship in a specific form forever. And for whatever reason, that's been very liberating, because I've always had very romantic ideas, which are fine. But I've always had very romantic ideas of finding that one guy and then us living together forever and on and on and on. And now I'm realizing I'm actually okay with, and not just okay with, it actually feels better to me to think of a relationship as being more like what happens today and less about what's going to happen in 5 years or 10 or 15 or 20 years.
Mm.
And that's, for me, has taken, because I'm single and I've been single for pretty much my entire adult life, and with a few kind of drive-by relationships in between. But I think for me, that's the thing, that I'm finally at peace with being single, having realized that it's not about forever, it's actually just about today.
That's interesting, because for me, it's almost been the opposite. When I started this whirlwind dating journey about a year and a half ago, I was just kind of looking to get out there and meet new people, and I didn't have any attachments to, I mean, I would have liked to have at least a short-term boyfriend to have, frankly, a little bit of action. But beyond that, I didn't have, you know, and because I'm not interested in casual, just no strings attached, whatever. But so I was like, you know, it would be nice to have a boyfriend, even if it doesn't last forever. Like, that's fine. I'm not necessarily, I didn't even know if I wanted to get married. I was kind of like, I don't even know if I like the idea of a piece of paper dictating, you know, who I'm with. And in the time that I've been dating, I've actually gone in the opposite direction, where I'm much more attached to, this must be the right person, this must be someone I could see myself spending the rest of my life with, or I'm not going to bother.
Right.
And I don't know if that's necessarily been that helpful, but that's sort of been the journey, and it's interesting that you've come kind of in the opposite direction.
Well, and there's, you know, I don't think this really has a lot to do with it, but, you know, there's a difference in our ages. I know generally about how old you are, but I'm 46. And I kind of feel like I finally gotten to the place where it would be okay to have a real adult relationship. And, you know, it only took me like, I've been out of the closet since I was 17, so it only took me 30 years to get here.
Uh-huh.
What I hear in what you're saying, which I really love, is the idea that what it sounds like to me, actually, is that your desire for being in a relationship has just gotten really strong and really focused.
Yes. And at the
Because I suspect I may change my mind about this, and I wonder if you might change your mind about it too in the future, but this may be where you're at right now, kind of your position on this is the thing that's kind of getting you over the hump, so to speak.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like it felt a lot easier in the beginning because I wasn't, first of all, when you're just open to possibilities, there's so many more options available. Once you start focusing very clearly, it's like, yes, I want, you know, someone who has these qualities and treats me in this way and all of these things. And it's just when you start to focus, there's less of those people around.
Well, you know, that is a very interesting thing, though, because someone said this to me recently, kind of on the same topic. And I was talking about it because I'm contemplating, even though I'm based out of Austin, Texas, I'm contemplating a move to Southern California. And what I had noticed was when I started turning my attention to people who lived in California, a couple of things happened. One is I finally connected with by having lunch and hanging out with people that I've known for a while that I hadn't met in person. So that I've known online in one way or another. And so that was really great. People who were like guys who were potential boyfriend material, so to speak. And kind of like, I kind of went through this period where I had lunch with like three or four of them. And I was like, you know, I've been chatting with you online for like 10 years and now we finally get to meet. And wow, I'm really glad we just were chatting online because this is not going at all in the direction I was hoping it would. So it kind of like, it feels like it cleared up the backlog. But what this friend of mine said to me, because I was saying, you know, like, oh, it's so great to be in the L.A. area because there's just so many more guys. And this friend kind of, like, narrowed their eyes at me and said, yeah, but unless there's something that you haven't told me, you don't want to be in relationship with a lot of people. You want to be in relationship with a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So that's why it's okay to be that clear and that focused on this is what it is and this is what it is and this is what it is because... You know, it's not like I don't have to have an entire grocery store filled with people in order to feel like I can find the one that I'm looking for. And Florence Scovel Shinn, who's one of my favorite New Thought authors, wrote about 90 years ago at this point. She said something that I've always thought was exactly right, and that is just a really very brief sentence. And she said, the telephone was seeking Belle. Meaning that the thing you're looking for is looking for you. So the guy you're looking for is looking for you. The guy I'm looking for is looking for me. And I get glimpses of that kind of in an intuitive, kind of parasensory sort of way every now and then. I can feel like there is somebody who's kind of wandering around somewhere in North America who's saying, wow, I really wish that I could find a guy who was a channel and who was kind of chubby and who wants to like do this and this and this and this. That would be so much that would be so much fun and so amazing, and it'd be wonderful to be in a relationship with someone like that. And I had this feeling there is a man walking around somewhere, let me put it in the Northern Hemisphere, how about that, who feels that way. And it's just a matter of us lining up with each other.
You're so cute. I love you.
Oh, thanks, Marie.
If that guy is listening, well, you're on Facebook, it says you're in a relationship, aren't you?
It does say, oh, yes, you're right. And yeah, let me, if you don't mind, let me talk about that for just a second. So, let's see if I can do this without it taking up the entire rest of the hour. I know I can tell you the story very briefly. So last summer, I got an email out of the blue from someone that I hadn't heard from in forever, since probably 89 or 90. It was a man who I met when I was, when we met, it was like love at first sight. He was already in a relationship with someone else, and it was an unrequited relationship. I hadn't heard from him forever. And in fact, I thought because of kind of the way he was living, the last time I heard from him, that he probably wasn't alive anymore. Because there are not a lot of people I know who did that many drugs and have that much sex in the late 80s who are still alive. So, anyway, he sent me this email out of the blue. He lives in Fort Lauderdale. I went down there. We reconnected. It was horrible. It was great to see him, but it was like, oh my God, it felt like I was stepping back into my like 19-year-old self, which just, there was not a lot of room there. And it did not feel good. And in fact, I got really angry, and I'm pretty sure I pretty much made him angry. I didn't mean to. I didn't, you know, but we left on very, not on, you know, I don't think I'll probably ever hear from him again. Let me put it that way. It wasn't horrible, but it just wasn't good. But after that was over with, I actually went and had a drink. And I don't drink, but I needed a drink. And so I went and had a drink, and I realized I just finally got out of a 25-year relationship. That, you know, although earlier I said I've been single, what really had been going on is I had been in a relationship with this guy, and I hadn't even really noticed it. I just did not. And so what would happen is I would meet someone, and immediately I would start thinking how this new person was not like him. And that happened over and over and over and over again. So I finally cut the cord. You know, we got our divorce, so to speak, and I was free. And ever since then, things have been very, very, very different. That was in October or early November. And about January, I realized that I had been persistently saying I was single, almost as a defense. So on Facebook, I changed my status to say that I was in a relationship. And I'm doing it not from the perspective of I'm wanting to keep people away, but from the perspective of I'm just asserting what I know will become true. And I may change it at some point because I may think, well, there's a little thought in the back of my mind that says, yeah, but there may be people who are not reaching out because they see that and they think, oh, well, you know, there's no hope. But the truth is that's for me, that's a metaphysical assertion is really what that is. And ever since I did that, I have had, like I said, I connected with all these three or four guys in L.A. who I've known forever online and kind of was like, are you the one? Are you the one? And they're like, no, no, no. But that was good. And I've, you know, I have made like new friends out of this, which is really interesting. And I've met wonderful people as a result of having done that. It's been quite, the relationships in my life have actually changed since January quite profoundly. And I put it all down to having done that. Having taken that step. So it's, you know, I feel like something is happening, something really powerful. And yes, if you're out there, my name is Frank Butterfield, and all you have to do is Google me and you'll find me. So it's that simple.
Yay.
So there you go. Yeah.
Okay, Frank. Well, it is time for a break, and I'm feeling like maybe while we're on the break, you could bring up the Communion of Light, a.k.a. Paul. It's Paul, right?
That's right.
And how do you feel about that?
That sounds great.
Good.
Let's do it.
Okay. So this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Frank Butterfield. He is a channel for a group consciousness called the Communion of Light, and we'll be speaking with Paul, the representative of this group, after the break. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We will be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Crosson Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Artists and Our Miss welcomes their 20th anniversary by inviting the public to join them for two popular art events this spring. Event 1 is a free Roundhouse exhibit and birthday party on May 16th. One day only at the Roundhouse Community Center at 181 Roundhouse Mews in Yaletown. There will be an artist reception from 7 to 10 p.m. and don't miss out on the birthday cake bash at 8. Following up the birthday bash, there will be a free open studios walk on May 19th through the 21st. Studios will be open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and to see participating artists and a map, visit the website at artistsinourmidst.com.
Get ready. The North by Northeast Music and Film Festival and Interactive Conference takes over Toronto June 11th to 17th. 7 days, 50 stages at 650 bands, including The Flaming Lips, Bad Religion, Raekwon and Ghostface, Matthew Good, and much, much more. Plus, 40 films and 4 huge free public concerts downtown. Get it all for just $50 with a North by Northeast wristband. Buy online and get full festival details at www.nxne.com. North by Northeast celebrating 18 years of great music. Working
for the city. That the question, what kind of cities do we want to live in? How do we want our cities to be? Cannot be divorced from the question of what kind of people we want to be.
Join me, your host, Andy Longhurst, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for The City, an hour dedicated to critical discussions of urban issues on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming live at citr.ca. For more information, visit the show's website at thecityfm.wordpress.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul on CITR 101.9 FM, as well as CBFX 92.5 in Kamloops, CFIS 93.1 in Prince George, and online at many, many otherworldly locations. So welcome back to the show, Frank Butterfield and the Communion of Light. Am I speaking with the Communion of Light now?
Indeed.
Hello, how you doing?
Well, we are always quite well, thank you.
Okay, so I don't really know where to start. It's interesting to be talking to Frank and then to move the energy to you. We were talking about relationships first, but is it best to say, is there anything that specifically we need to know at this time?
Well, there's not anything that you need to know, but we would say there are probably many things that you want to know. And so the first thing that we would say you probably want to know is it okay for me to have what it is that I'm wanting? Which, what we heard in the conversation prior to this, at least vibrationally, was an exploration of, can I have what I really want? In other words, in terms of these relationships, and in terms of what these relationships mean, can I have what I really am wanting? Or do I have to take what I get?
Hmm. That's interesting. So you think that's the question I'm asking?
Well, we would say that when you're looking at the field of potential suitors, if you will, and you're thinking, I've got to make sure that it's a very broad field, I've got to make sure that there's a wide array of people who are available to me, essentially what you're saying underneath that is, I'm not sure I can really get specifically what I'm wanting. Now, the thing is that we do walk a little bit of a thin line when we're talking about this, because you're never ever really going to get exactly what you want on any topic ever. Because even when you have the idea of, this is what I'm wanting, just having the idea actually causes you to evolve and expand a little bit into the direction of more of what you're focusing on. And so the very thing that you just conceived of now is not exactly a perfect match to who you are. But that's what happens in life, isn't it? Because you get somewhere, you get the thing, or the person, the experience, the characteristic, the quality, whatever it is that you were calling forth, you get that thing and it comes to you. And then suddenly you realize, wait a second, there's actually more that I want from here.
That's interesting, because the last relationship that I was in, I felt at least, well, it was going on, while I was happy with it, I felt like this was actually more than I had anticipated, more than I had been asking for, better than I had been asking for. And now that I've had that, and unfortunately had my heart quite shattered by it, that is now the minimum of what I'm willing to accept, which is lovely in many ways, but it also limits that wide array of possibilities.
Well, but you see, you want that wide array of possibilities to be limited. As Frank's very wise friend said, you're not wanting to marry every man. You're wanting to marry a man, or whatever the word is you want to use that symbolizes your relationship. But you're not wanting to be in relationship with every man, because that would be quite an onerous experience, wouldn't it, to have 200,000 or 300,000 suitors clamoring at your door day after day after day, wondering when you were going to be available to go out and have dinner, or when you were going to want to see a movie, or, for goodness sake, when you were going to be available for that very special experience that happens between you. And so that would be a lot, wouldn't it? 2,000 or 3,000 people at a time that you're just sort of consummating your relationship with, that's a lot. Now, we're being very silly and overly dramatic just to draw a point, but we really want to bring home that fact that Well, Marie, sorry about that. I love coughing on the radio. It sounds like it's so wonderful, and I just know your listeners are enjoying the soft melodic tones of my lungs trying to get this little tiny drop of whatever it is out of my throat. So my apologies. And that does kind of throw me out. So hold on just a second and we'll get right back in.
No worries. I'll put out that number again. If you would like to get on the air and ask the Communion of Light a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. I know I'm not the only one who has questions. And again, as Frank was explaining at the top of the hour, whether you believe or not, it can be fun to just sort of experiment and see how you feel and kind of dip your feet in the pool. And if you don't like it, you can just get right out again. So how are you feeling now? We back?
Indeed. So what we want to say about this very specific thing that's happening right now is this. What's happening is that as we're speaking about this topic, it's a difficult thing to talk about, because literally what we're saying to you is, what you really want, you can actually have. It just may be difficult to hear what we're saying. Now, we're rather unfairly pointing our non-physical fingers in your direction and saying, you can have exactly what you are wanting. We find it very delicious that you're willing to act this thing out over the public airwaves and to make it very public and to say, look, here I am. I'm in this process, and I'm exploring this. We think that's a very interesting thing to be doing, because as you do this, not only does it, and we suspect you probably have ulterior motives in doing so. In other words, if you talk about it enough on the radio, perhaps the one will hear you and will find you.
Actually, I wasn't thinking about that.
And that certainly is a very alluring possibility.
I wasn't thinking about that, but I do have people from online dating sites that tune in to hear this show because they found out about it. But no, I talk about it because I feel like hopefully that people can learn from my experience and maybe not have to stumble around and make the same mistakes if they get to hear about what I'm doing. Then they'll be like, oh, I'm going to avoid what she's doing and change my course. And I share because I talk a lot and I'm an oversharer, as well as because I feel like hopefully someone will benefit from it other than just me.
Well, there are a couple of things that you just said that we want to quibble with. One is that you're not an oversharer. What happens is that you speak more than what is culturally or socially acceptable, but those who benefit from it, and those who don't like it wouldn't like you anyway. So that part we would say is exactly right. The other part that you said that we find very, very, very interesting is that we do want to remind you, and it's just our perspective, and you can take this or leave it, and that certainly applies to anything that we say, but that no one really needs to learn anything from you. What you're really doing is reminding them of what they already know. And not everyone is going to benefit from your experience, but that's exactly right. Because there are some people who will find your experience to be extremely inspirational, but there are some people who find it to be mediumly or mildly inspirational, and there are some people who will find it to be of no inspiration whatsoever, but just think it's kind of nice that you're talking about your process out in public. And then there will be people who think it's just ghastly, simply ghastly, that you're actually talking about this in public and exposing yourself in this way. Now, their reactions to that, of course, have nothing to do with you. They have everything to do with themselves and what their own internal process is. You're just the sounding board, the lightning rod, by which the contrast of their own experience can rise up and show them where they are in relationship to this topic. What we know from where we sit is that as you engage yourself, which is really the most important thing, as you engage yourself from within and you pay attention to your own internal intuition and you pay attention to that and you keep moving forward, you will find what you're looking for, because what you're looking for is already here. All that you're doing is you're just lining up with it. You're just lining up with the physical experience. As we like to say, metaphysically speaking, you're in this relationship already. And there's no doubt whatsoever that that is the case. You just may not know what it looks like, but you do know what it feels like. If you haven't spent any time, in other words, laying on one side of the bed so that there's enough room for another person on the other side of the bed, and felt what it feels like to be in your bed with another person in the bed, and what it feels like to turn over and to go this way and to go that way and to do this, and when you have to get up and get a glass of water, how you're careful to tiptoe rather than just do what you might normally do, kind of fall out of bed and clump your way to the bathroom. But instead, what you do, because you don't want to wake him up, you just slowly move out of the bedroom, get a glass of water, collect your thoughts, and then come back to bed and gently put yourself back down. Something that would be different if there was no one there. Now, these are just silly little examples, but you see, as you're thinking about, literally, as you're thinking about what we're saying, and you're imagining yourself being in that situation, you're engaging the metaphysical aspect of the already existing relationship.
Well, that actually brings up a thought for me, because I have a nice, big, comfy bed, and I always sleep on just one side. But it kind of came to mind that maybe I should take advantage of having that big bed and start sleeping in the middle while I have the time, while I have the opportunity.
We would pay attention to that, because, you see, the point here isn't to follow a formula. So that illustrates our point quite perfectly. The point here is not to follow a formula, and the point here is most definitely not to follow us just because we purport to be non-physical types. Certainly, the same thing would apply to any teacher, coach, expert, guru of any sort. The point here is to follow what feels better to you. And if what you're thinking is, I need to spread myself out like a big, huge X in the bed while I've got the opportunity. So it's the same thing you might do if he was away on a business trip, or if he was away visiting someone, or was off doing something overnight. How you would say, oh, thank goodness, I've got the bed all to myself. I can spread out, and I can loll around and turn this way and turn that way and fling my arms around and not have to worry about smacking him in the noggin. Mm-hmm. So that right there, and tell us if we're right or wrong, that right there actually represents the kind of freedom that you would be looking for inside the context of a relationship, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually used to think that I would rather have separate bedrooms until my second to last relationship. We actually slept so nicely together that changed my mind about sharing rooms. Because I'm of the belief, like, sleep is so important. And if you don't sleep well with someone, it's better to just be in another room.
Indeed. Well, and what we really like here is that you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you also know quite well that once you get into that relationship, once the physical aspect of the relationship has manifested itself, these things will sort itself out, and you know enough about yourself to know what your preferences are, which is always very powerful. And particularly when it comes to being in a relationship with another person, where the tendency might be to err on the side of their comfort, it's really good for you to know what is right for you so that you can be clear about that and find the ground that works the best for you while knowing that you're in a win-win situation, which is what is always possible in every relationship. You just have to look for it. That's all.
All right. So I'm feeling like maybe we can move beyond relationships and talk about there are people who it seems to be money, health, and relationships seem to be the biggest three issues that people want to talk about, whether they're calling a psychic or they're talking to their counselor or their therapist. I mean, these are the big three. So I'm going to affirm that everyone right now is having wonderful health. So let's talk about success and careers. I'm feeling like just the same with relationships, you had mentioned how it's important to feel that feeling of what the relationship would be like. And yet so many times we know what we want. We know how we would like to feel. And in the absence of that, we feel that lack and it's painful. So I'm curious, how do you get from that knowing what you want, seeing that it's not currently in your experience, and letting go of the attachment to it so that you're not constantly walking around feeling that empty longing for what it is that you desire?
Well, it's pretty simple. You direct your attention to what feels better. If you know what you want and you know that you can have it, but yet your physical eyes are telling you that you don't have it, then turn your gaze onto something that has nothing to do with the topic. So, for example, and we're not the only ones who've ever said this, but for example, you can spend some time petting the dog or take the dog for a walk or pet the cat or play with the children or go for a long walk in the woods. You see, all that really matters is that you become a vibrational match to what you're wanting. And if what you're wanting is something that you equate with joy, with relief, with happiness, with some form of fulfillment, then you've got to find your way into that place first, and then the circumstances will shift and arrange themselves around that. This happens all the time with all sorts of things. They're just things that you don't think are very important. One of our favorite little topics is the idea of how you make a sandwich, specifically a peanut butter sandwich. And because peanut butter and bread and perhaps jam and or honey or bananas, those are rather easy things to come across for most people. So you don't really think about it too much. You don't worry about how you're going to get the bread, where the wheat is and how you're going to mill it, and how you're going to take the flour and how you're going to mix it with some sort of mixture that makes it rise, and then you're going to have bread. You're not worrying about a peanut butter sandwich from looking at a wheat stalk or looking at a peanut plant. You don't worry about having strawberry jam by walking out into the fields and picking the strawberries. You might enjoy making strawberry jam. You might enjoy making your own peanut butter. You might enjoy baking your own bread. But you do those things for the joy of it. You don't really worry about those things because they're so omnipresent, culturally speaking, that you can get your hands on them rather easily. It's not that big of a deal. And even those for whom it might be a big deal can actually find their way to it pretty quickly compared to a lot of other things. So to make a peanut butter sandwich is just to imagine that peanut butter sandwich is going to be the thing that's going to bring you the contentment from hunger that you're looking for. That's going to bring you the satisfaction of a meal that was tasty and delicious and that hit the spot just in the right way. There's no difference between that and having a bank account full of money or having a tremendous amount of success in the work that you do. You can imagine how wonderful it is to eat a peanut butter sandwich exactly the way that you like it made. And if you can do that, you can imagine what it feels like to have a wallet full of money or to have a bank account that's overflowing or to have a job where you feel very satisfied and you are very well paid or to be in a line of work that brings you a lot of success. You can feel all of those things. But the thing is that on this topic, unlike peanut butter sandwiches, where you don't sit around and worry about the world supply of peanuts or whether there will be enough strawberries for another jar of jam, you do tend to sit around and worry about whether there's enough money in the world for you to have what you want and how you're going to get it and how that's going to work and what you're going to do and how you're going to make that happen. And you've all been trained to spend a lot of time thinking about this. And if you're really smart, you're spending at least 8 to 10 to 12 to 14 hours a day thinking about it, and even in your sleep, you're thinking about it. What we would suggest is that you decide what it is that you're wanting and then let it go. Now, we know that's a little bit like saying, don't look at the elephant, don't look at the elephant, don't look at the elephant, don't look at the elephant. So the way to let it go, of course, is to find things that are as joyful, as pleasurable, as easy as you're wanting money or success to be. Now, we're not saying don't work. Work if you want to work. Don't work if you don't want to work. We don't know the path for you. But what we do know is that if you know how it feels, you know you can have it. And even if you don't know how it feels, you can begin to imagine that you do know how it feels, which will then cause you to gather up thoughts and feelings and awareness through law of attraction, which is just an organizing principle. It's not a big deal. It's just how thoughts work. Even if you don't know specifically what to do in any situation, if you focus on it, not for long periods of time, but for long enough, for a few moments, you'll begin to get inspiration. You'll begin to be intuitive, just like in our conversation just a few moments ago when we said, imagine sleeping on one side of the bed, and your response to that was, no, I want to sleep like a big X in the bed because I want to take up all the room, because that actually was the vibrational match. That thought was the vibrational match of what we were suggesting. Just because it didn't look like what we said doesn't mean that it's not valid. In fact, it was exactly right for you. And you're constantly being peppered with thoughts like this all of the time. Because of the nature of who you are as a creative being, you're constantly, constantly, constantly being given ideas about what success is and what having a lot of money feels like and the next step in that direction and the way to line up with it from a physically manifested version of what you're wanting. So you're never lost. You're never out at sea, but you may be very distracted by the belief that you have that you've got to work hard, that you've got to make it happen, that you've got to get it done, that you've got to focus on it, that you need to make sure that you cross all the T's and dot all the I's and all that sort of thing. And that will get in the way of you having it, unless you are really lined up with who you are, which for most people that we ever speak with, you're more lined up probably than most people that you know, because otherwise you wouldn't be interested in a conversation like this. But you're not nearly lined up enough to be able to be that focused on something and also be able to allow it at the same time. So the simple answer to your question is find something that feels better from where you are, because nothing, literally nothing, is more important than your vibration. And your vibration is how you feel. And so as you feel better, and we're not talking about physical feelings, we mean emotional feelings, as you feel better, what happens is things begin to work out for you. And probably every person listening to our words can come up with 10 or 20 stories, if pressed, that talk about how they struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and worked and worked and worked, and then they finally just threw up their hands and said, I give up. I don't care anymore. And then before they knew it, they were where they wanted to be. The key to that story is not the struggle, struggle, struggle. The key to that story is the giving up. So we like to say give up early and often. You're not giving up on what you're wanting. What you're giving up on is the idea or the notion that somehow or another you know what to do every step of the way, when in fact you really don't. And the reason you don't is because your path is a continuously evolving thing. So as you take the next step unfolds. As you take that step, the next step unfolds, on and on and on. And it really is that simple.
It's interesting because for me, I'll just bring it back to the dating experience, because it's so easy to come up with a gajillion examples. But how I find that with my second to last relationship, it ended and I literally met this last one the day after I was able to fully let go in a way where both of us were grateful that we had come together and grateful for everything that we had learned from each other. And it was a really loving separation. And literally the next day I met this other guy. And so it was almost like I was expecting things to be that smooth this time. And they haven't been, which is fine. But I find that the more that I focus on dating, sometimes I read books by dating experts and things like that. And they say, they basically make it sound like you have to make finding a relationship your full-time job. And it's just like, I mean, I love men. I love and appreciate them so much. And I have to say, the more I online date, the less I like them. I feel like it's almost making me jaded, which is not productive. So
here's the thing. There's two things we really want to say here that we think are very, very important. One is that you haven't, and you'll pardon us for saying so in such a public environment, but you haven't really let go of your previous relationship. You're still in that relationship because you're still brokenhearted, as you put it earlier, about what happened. And what you just revealed to yourself, whether you realize it or not, is that that really is the key. That's the thing that's been holding everything together in the way that you don't like.
So how do I get unbrokenhearted?
We would make that the priority, is to look at the benefit and the blessing and the positive aspects of where you are now and how wonderful it is that you are not in that relationship and how this is the perfect time and the perfect place for you to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying that you're going to get that right now, right here, right in this moment. That may take a little bit of stretching, a little bit of effort on your part. But it will be effort well worth it, not because the effort itself is worth the struggle, but because you'll find the relief that you're looking for, which as you know already, because you just demonstrated it through your conversation, will bring you to the place that you really, really, really want to be in. But the second thing that we want to say is the reason why you're not enjoying the online dating is because it's pretty simple. And once we say this, you'll probably think, oh, well, yes, that's really obvious. But the reason why you're not enjoying the online dating is not because there's something wrong with the men and there's not something wrong with you, but because you're treating the online dating like going to the grocery store. And instead of before you walk into the look, think of how powerful it would be, going back to our peanut butter sandwich, for you to decide while you're sitting in the parking lot or while you're standing outside the door thinking, okay, I'm going into this market. And when I leave, what I'm going to leave with is the perfect strawberry jam made by French nuns and the perfect crunchy peanut butter made from peanuts that were grown in a specific part of southwestern Georgia and the best chewy whole wheat bread made by people just down the street. And I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get there because I'm not there yet, but I know that when I walk out of this store, I will have that or something better. And so you walk into the store, and by following your intuition, you'll be guided to the jam, to the peanut butter, to the bread, and you'll walk out having paid for your purchases, feeling very satisfied and very pleased, and that's what you would imagine. That you're looking at the doors and you're thinking, okay, when I walk out these doors, I'm going to feel very satisfied and very pleased with my experience. Think of that, how that feels. Think of how clear that feels and how obvious that is. Now, contrast that with an idea that you stand in front of a grocery store and you think, I don't know what I want to eat. I don't even really know why I'm here. I just know that it's 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, and at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, this is what I do. And so you go into the store and you grab a trolley and you begin to push it up and down the aisles and you begin to think, well, that doesn't really appeal to me and that doesn't really appeal to me and that doesn't really appeal to me. Think of what's happening vibrationally as you're doing that. You start off with a celery thinking that celery looks a little brown. And by the time you get to the other side of the store and you see the bread, you're thinking, I'm never going to eat again. Nothing here feels good because you're building a rolling vibration. Because you don't know what you're wanting, and so the I don't know is what's getting matched. Well, I don't know. 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 And it feels progressively worse because that statement in and of itself isn't true. You do know, you're just not really stopping to pay attention. And what might be the case, and here's one of the things we really want to bring home. We're going to say it within the metaphor, but think about how this applies to the very specific topic. What if, while you're in the middle of the store with a trolley, by the way, that already had some items in it, including items that came from a refrigerated area? Now think about everything you know about grocery stores. And you were on aisle 6, and you hadn't made it all the way to the store, across the store, and you hadn't paid for anything. What would happen if you just pushed the trolley over to the side of the aisle and walked out? Now, the reason why we say it in that way is because there are probably many people who are listening who would think that's not a big deal. But anyone who's ever worked in a market would think that is an atrociously evil thing to do, particularly if you've got milk or butter. And think about the poor employees who are going to have to take that trolley and put all the things back on the shelf and how all that's going to work and this, that, and the other, right? So what we really want you to notice is that sometimes that literally is what feels better. There may be social reasons why it's not a good idea. There may be cultural reasons why it's not a good idea. But that is sometimes what feels better, and sometimes what feels better is to close the account, deactivate it, and delete your credit card. And just walk away from the computer and realize you live in a city where there's probably at least 500,000 people that you could probably go through and find. And really all you have to do is, before you start walking down the street, decide that by the time I get to the end of this block, I'm going to feel a lot better about myself as a person who is wanting to be in a very stimulating sexual, romantic, emotional relationship.
Thank you so much, Communion of Light. Can we speak with Frank again? Because I'm going to run out of time in like a minute here.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry I lost track of time while you were giving me such a wonderful analogy.
Well, thanks, Marie. This was so much fun. I just love being here. And many, many apologies to the listeners for the coughs. Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it. So communionoflight.com is where they can find you.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
So, thank you very, very much.
It was wonderful chatting with you. Have a great day, Frank.
You too, Marie. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was Frank Butterfield. Again, he is a channel for the Communion of Light. Next week, we'll be speaking with Alana Miles. She's going to give us an update on her spiritual journey. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown, so stick around for that. I want to send my love to you. I hope you have a fantastic week. Be well. Namaste.
That the question, what kind of cities do we want to live in? How do we want our cities to be?